Let us pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you that we can gather together as your people and that we can bring our praise and worship to you. Father, we thank you also for the opportunity of hearing your word again and being encouraged by your word. We pray, Lord, that you will be with your servant here, that you will give him your words of wisdom, that he may declare your words to us. Father, we thank you for Chris, and we pray that you will bless him as he brings your word to us this morning. And we pray that our hearts may be open and our attention may be there to receive your word and to be encouraged as we live our lives in faithfulness to you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now, there's a story that is told of a group of British tourists who went on one of these Bible tours. You know, they go to the Holy Land, they travel through Palestine and Israel, and they see all the ancient biblical cities and those sorts of things. And as they are going along, their guide was describing to them some of the local customs that happen in the East. And he said to the group, "Now, look, you're probably used to seeing in England that the shepherd follows his sheep and drives them from behind. But in the East, however, things are totally different. The shepherd always leads the way. He is the one who walks in the front. The sheep follow him. They know his voice." And as he was saying this, they kind of round a corner on the road that they're walking on, and the guide stops dead in his tracks because right in front of them is this flock of sheep being driven from behind by a man pushing the sheep. Now, the guide was astonished, and he was obviously embarrassed, and so he immediately went across to the shepherd and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you driving these sheep? You know, aren't they supposed to be following you? Because here in the East, shepherds always lead the sheep." And the man says, "Look, you're right. Shepherds do always lead the sheep, but I am the butcher." Now, shepherding across the world is quite different, you know. And so when Jesus here says that he is the good shepherd, he's making a couple of different claims. And we have to think about what he means when he says he is the good shepherd. What does that look like? How does it apply to our lives? And so on. So let's take a look. If you've got your Bibles with me, I encourage you to open to John chapter 10 from verse 11. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon, and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These aren't the words of someone who is demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, all throughout Scripture, shepherding sheep is associated with good leadership. The very first shepherd in the Bible is Abel, who kept sheep and he found favor in God's eyes. Jacob, Israel's founder, was a shepherd. So too was Joseph, who ultimately became leader over all of Egypt. He was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. He was looking after his sheep in Midian when God called him through the burning bush to lead his people out of Egypt. And when David was anointed, he was anointed as a shepherd king over Israel. He was out in the fields looking after his sheep, and then Samuel kind of finds him and anoints him. And now Jesus here comes and says, he is the good shepherd. And then he shows us what a good shepherd is like. What makes a good shepherd? So what is it that makes a good shepherd? Well, according to Jesus, what makes good shepherds stand out from bad shepherds is sacrifice, is being willing to be laid down for the sake of the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he's not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep and leaves and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. Then verse 13, he says, this happens because the hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. You see, the good shepherd is so invested in his sheep that he is willing to sacrifice for them. His life is a life of giving. He is invested in his sheep because he has paid for them. They are his. He knows them. He's invested in them. When you think about how valuable a sheep is to a shepherd, it all comes down to the cost that the shepherd has paid for the sheep. If it was a free sheep, or if it's not his sheep, then he's not going to do much for the sheep. He's not going to do anything for the sheep because he hasn't really sacrificed for the sheep. That sheep didn't cost him anything. But now imagine if the shepherd gave his life savings for his flock of sheep. Imagine if the shepherd spent everything he had to purchase his sheep. Then the flock is far more precious to him, far more valuable to him. And so for that flock, for the valuable flock, the shepherd is willing to do something for. He puts himself on the line. When the wolves come, he is the one who stands in front of the sheep, staff in hand, ready to fight. He is the one who at night lays down across the doorway, as we see last week, of the sheepfold, spreading out his body so that no wicked thing could come in and steal the sheep. He is the one who spends the nights out in the cold, exposed, to make sure that the sheep are safe and warm. He is the one who leads the sheep to good pasture through all the dangers along the road because he genuinely cares about what happens to the sheep. He genuinely cares about their spiritual life. A good shepherd lives a life of sacrifice for the sake of the sheep. It is physically demanding, emotionally taxing, and a lonely existence. And for the most part, it is a thankless task. Shepherd life is a life of giving and of sacrifice. But a bad shepherd is not like that. He is like a hired hand. He has no personal stake in the sheep that he's looking after. And so when danger comes, or when things get hard, he just up and leaves and runs away. And he doesn't really care if the sheep get gobbled up by wolves, by attackers, and he runs away. A bad shepherd doesn't make any effort to keep the flock together. He is in it only for his own personal gain. And so how do you tell a good and a bad shepherd apart? How do you know the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd? The thing is, friends, you don't really get to see the difference between these two, between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd, until there is a threat to the flock, until it becomes hard, until the wolves come. And it's not until the wolves come that the bad shepherd runs away, leaves his flock to find alternative employment. The bad shepherd is happy to shepherd a flock while he gets paid, while it's easy going, while it's all rainbows and sunshine. But when hardship comes, he runs away. And he doesn't mind if the flock gets left behind, and he leaves for his own sake. How do you tell a good shepherd apart and a bad shepherd apart? Are they willing to sacrifice? Are they in the shepherding gig for themselves or for the sake of the flock? Are they willing to sacrifice for the sake of the flock? Are they willing to take the hard knocks for the flock, or do they just run away when things get hard? Are they willing to lead the sheep to where the good pasture is, even though there are dangers and difficulties along the road, even though the sheep people disagree with them? Now, as an aside, one of my lecturers at college was very fond of saying, he used this phrase all the time, anyone with half a brain. you know. Anyone with half a brain knows that after the rain comes the sunshine or whatever. What he means by this is anyone who has eyes to see or the capacity to think in any kind of way, anyone with half a brain. Well, friends, anyone with half a brain can understand that this is applicable to our church right now, to me. This is how you are to evaluate your own shepherds, your own elders, as we install new elders next week and as we think about our leadership in this church. This is how you evaluate us. And to my brother elders who are here, who are tuning in from home, if we are not willing to sacrifice for the sake of the sheep, we should not be in leadership here. You know, we shouldn't be doing this gig. If it's hard and we just up and leave, which has been a temptation, my friends, then we shouldn't be here. Because Jesus is our model, you know. He is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He sacrifices for them. He isn't in it for the money or the fame or the status or for any other reason, but because he loves his sheep and wants to take them to where the good pasture is. Jesus is the good shepherd who sacrifices for his sheep. And to get a sense of how valuable we are to Jesus, we just have to look at how much he was willing to pay for the sheep. You know, we are worth so much to him because he paid for us with his own blood. He is fully invested in a way that no elder or pastor or any other person ever could be. Not because we don't care about you, but because he cares so much about you that he was willing to pay for you with his life, to buy you. Friends, we matter so much to Jesus. You matter so much to Jesus because he was willing to pay everything for you. And that's why he is the good shepherd, because he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says he is the good shepherd. The second thing we see is that the good shepherd also knows his sheep. Let's see if this works. Ah, very good. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, if you are one of Jesus' sheep, he knows you. He knows you, and he knows you. You know? He knows your deepest, darkest fears. He understands what scares you in the night. He knows what has hurt you in the past, how those things have shaped you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows about, you know, the bully that called your names at school that to this day make you scared when people yell at you. He knows. He knows of that time where you wanted something so badly and got so deeply disappointed. He remembers when your husband or wife or partner or, you know, those girls at school said that thing to you that one time that cut you so deeply that it changed you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows which are the sins that keep tripping you up. He understands the struggle you have that you just can't seem to stop. He knows your heart and your earnest desire to serve him too. He knows what's going on inside you as you walk into this building. He knows of the unmet expectations you have, or the disappointments, or the drives, or the passions, the things that inspire you. He sees you. Your shepherd knows you because he made you and forms you and knows you better than you even know yourself. And yet, even though he knows you for who you really are, he loves you anyway. So much so that he's willing to die for you. Loves you enough to lay down his life for you. I find that mind-blowing. You know, for me, he died for me, and he did that knowing who I am. That's staggering. The shepherd knows you. He loves you. The shepherd lays down his life for you. And so Jesus knows sacrifices for you, even though he knows his sheep. And the sacrifice he makes is that he lays down his life for you. Now, you're going to bear with me for a second because I seem to have just lost half my sermon. So that is unhelpful. Well, wow, we're going to wing it now. Your shepherd knows you and he loves you and he was willing to die for you anyway. I find that staggering myself. I don't know about you, but knowing who you are, isn't it interesting that Jesus would die for you? Knowing who you are yourself? Your shepherd knows you. But look also, it's not just that your shepherd knows you, but also his sheep know him. They not only know him, they know his voice. But even the demons know Jesus' voice. But what separates the sheep from the rest is that they listen to his voice. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his sheep listen to his voice. My friends, how well do you know when Jesus is speaking to you? How well do you know his word? How well do you know and can discern what is right from wrong based on Scripture? I think it's not surprising that this is the generation, I'm not speaking about us here, but in the world more generally, I find it interesting that this is the generation where so much heretical teaching has flourished. Because we are the generation that is the most biblically illiterate that any generation has been for hundreds of years. The sheep don't know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you obey his commands? You know, there's a story of of this American. He's traveling through the East. You know, he's there in Iran, Iraq, and he sees these three different shepherds come with their flocks to the little river there. And so there he is, and the three shepherds come. Their flocks follow them, and they all go to the same stream, and all the sheep mix together. And the first shepherd takes his sheep and he yells out, "Mena, Mena," which is Arabic for "follow me." And so his sheep, naturally, they know his voice and they all follow him. Then the second shepherd starts yelling out, "Mena, Mena," and his sheep come and they follow him. And the American, in the classic sort of American way, thinks to himself, "Well, you know, I can do this. Let's see how I go." So he says to the remaining shepherd, "Lend me your crook and your turban, and let me have a go." And the guy sort of begrudgingly gives him his things, and he starts yelling out, "Mena, Mena," and nothing happens. The sheep just stay there drinking. And so the guy asks him, "Do your sheep never follow the wrong person?" And the shepherd says to him, "Actually, they do. They do sometimes follow the wrong shepherd, but that's only when the sheep are sick." And I think the same thing applies to us. If we don't know our shepherd's voice, if we don't listen to and obey him, then we will follow whatever shepherd leads us astray, because then we will be sick sheep. So the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. But then there's a third thing that happens, or fourth thing I think we're up to, and that is that the good shepherd, so we've seen that the good shepherd sacrifices. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. And the last thing we see is that the good shepherd also divides. We read there at the end, he says from verse 19, "Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. And many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?' Others were saying, 'These aren't the words of someone who's demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" You see, friends, there are really only two responses to the Good Shepherd. Either we have to reject him as someone who is demon-possessed or crazy, or we have to follow him and obey his words. There is no middle ground for us. There is no middle ground. We can't sort of just come, like last week we talked about how Jesus is the door and that there are some people that kind of hang out at the entranceway speaking to those inside and outside. That is not an option for human beings. At some point we must choose. We are either in his sheepfold or not. And this flock of the Lord comes from all over the world. He says that that there are other sheep in other sheep fold as well, and I will call them and they will follow me also. He's speaking here to the Jews, but there he's speaking about the Gentiles, which I think we all kind of fit into, right? We are all part of the same flock with one shepherd. But we must come to either follow him or not. There is no option. Jesus divides. And so my question to you is this morning, my friends, are you in or out? Are you willing to come and accept and follow the words of the Good Shepherd? Or are you going to remain outside? We're going to sing a song in just a moment where the words say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none come with me, still I will follow. Will you follow Jesus or will you remain outside of the sheep pen? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to follow him. Lord, you are the good shepherd and we are your sheep. And yet, Lord, we recognize that sometimes we are sick and sometimes we follow the wrong shepherds and sometimes our shepherds are wrong. And nevertheless, Lord, you have called us as your sheep, and therefore you look after us, you take us to places where we will grow. And so we pray that as the good shepherd, we will follow you. Lord, help us to know your voice. Help us to really interact with your word, to study it well, so that we may know you well, that we may be able to discern what is right and wrong based on what you have revealed in your word. Lord, may we not be like those sick sheep that follow the wrong shepherd. But Lord, may we follow you always. Help us, we pray. Bring people into our lives as we study the word to help explain it to us and help us to follow you well. Help us to be good sheep that listen to you and know your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you are our good shepherd. And now as we sing, Lord, may these words that we sing also be true in our hearts. That we have decided to follow Jesus. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.